Let's read together Deuteronomy chapter 17. In Deuteronomy chapter 17, we have certain rules and regulations for the judges and the coming kings of Israel. Let's begin by reading the first 13 verses. You shall not sacrifice to the Lord your God a bull or sheep which has any blemish or defect, for that is an abomination to the Lord your God. If there is found among you within any of your gates which the Lord your God gives you, a man or a woman who has been wicked in the sight of the Lord your God in transgressing his covenant, who has gone and served other gods and worshipped them, either the sun or moon or any of the hosts of heaven, which I have not commanded, and it is told you, and you hear of it, then you shall inquire diligently. And if it is indeed true and certain that such an abomination has been committed in Israel, then you shall bring out to your gates that man or woman who has committed that wicked thing, and shall stone to death that man or woman with stones. Whoever is deserving of death shall be put to death on the testimony of two or three witnesses. He shall not be put to death on the testimony of one witness. The hands of the witnesses shall be the first against him to put him to death, and afterward the hands of all the people. So you shall put away the evil from among you. If a matter arises which is too hard for you to judge, between degrees of guilt for bloodshed, between one judgment or another, or between one punishment or another, matters of controversy within your gates, then you shall arise and go up to the place which the Lord your God chooses, and you shall come to the priests, the Levites, and to the judge there in those days, and inquire of them. They shall pronounce upon you the sentence of judgment. You shall do according to the sentence which they pronounce upon you in that place which the Lord chooses. And you shall be careful to do according to all that they order you, according to the sentence of the law in which they instruct you, according to the judgment which they tell you, you shall do. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left from the sentence which they pronounce upon you. Now the man who acts presumptuously and will not heed the priest who stands to minister there before the Lord your God or the judge, that man shall die. So you shall put away the evil from Israel, and all the people shall hear and fear and no longer act presumptuously. Let's begin our study of this chapter of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 17, with some background notes. At the end of chapter 16, we saw that judges and officers were to be appointed in all the towns of the land in order for justice to be maintained. We saw that maintaining the law in Israel included judgment and punishment in the area of religion, because there was no freedom of religion in Israel. Only the one true God was to be worshipped. We saw in the last two verses of chapter 16 that any kind of false religious activity was disallowed and judged as idolatry. These laws against false gods and false religious activity continue now in the first half of chapter 17 and help explain why we have verse 1 in this context. Verse 1, once again. You shall not sacrifice to the Lord your God a bull or sheep which has any blemish or defect, for that is an abomination to the Lord your God. Why is this regulation about defective sacrifices placed in the context, both before verse 1 and after verse 1, the context of laws against false gods and false religious activity? Remember, there were no chapter divisions in the original Hebrew. Answer. Number one, because this was part of the law, someone had to judge when an animal was defective. Now, I can imagine that there were a lot of arguments that had to be settled by a judge over what constituted a blemish or a defect in a certain animal that was brought for sacrifice. And number two, to give anything less than your best to the Lord was a step towards idolatry, then and today. Because God is essentially moving down in your priorities, while your own possessions are moving up in your priorities when you give less than your best to the Lord. If you only give your leftover time and leftover money to the Lord, this is a step in the direction of idolatry. Let's move now to our doctrinal and teaching points for Deuteronomy chapter 17. Doctrinal point number one. Judges in Israel were to follow strict rules of justice. Judges in Israel were to follow strict rules of justice. We see in verses 2 through 5 that if a man or woman in Israel was found guilty of false worship, they were to be stoned to death. Such a stiff penalty would certainly convey to the people the seriousness of the sin of idolatry and would be a barrier against people drifting away from the Lord into idolatry. But why stoning as the method of execution? I think there were at least two reasons for stoning. Number one, it clearly set this death penalty apart from any kind of sacrifice. This was not a human sacrifice. This was justice. And number two, stoning ensured that all the people were involved in carrying out the sentence of judgment. Verse 7, the hands of the witnesses shall be the first against him to put him to death, and afterward the hands of all the people. So you shall put away the evil from among you. No one could excuse themselves from being involved in maintaining justice, and this public execution by the people was a way of having all the people acknowledge that God's laws were right and just. Notice from verse 6 that at least two witnesses were necessary to carry out the death penalty. The man or woman may have been guilty of idolatry as charged, but one eyewitness was not good enough to convict. There had to be two or three eyewitnesses. This law ensured that justice was not carried out by lynch mobs or vigilante groups, and there was no one railroaded in an unfair trial. Anyone accused received a fair and systematic trial so that justice and righteousness were maintained. Now read Matthew chapters 26 and 27, and see how this law was wrongly manipulated during the trial of our Lord. We see in verse 7 of Deuteronomy chapter 17 that the witnesses had to be the first to cast the stones. Verse 7 once again, the hands of the witnesses shall be the first against him to put him to death, and afterward the hands of all the people. This ensured that witnesses did not make their charge on the spur of the moment or in an emotional moment or make their charge lightly, because if later they were shown to be false witnesses, they would be guilty of murder and subject to the death penalty themselves. We see in verses 8 through 13 that cases which were too difficult for local judges to handle were brought to Jerusalem, where in essence a supreme court was set up with at least one chief judge and one chief priest to decide the case. The decision of this supreme court was final and considered the will of God. Anyone who disagreed would himself be prosecuted. Judges in Israel were to follow strict rules of justice. Doctrinal point number two. Kings of Israel were to follow strict regulations in office. Kings of Israel were to follow strict regulations in office. Verses 14 through 20. Let's read verses 14 through 17. When you come to the land which the Lord your God has given you, and possess it and dwell in it, and say, I will set a king over me like all the nations that are around me, you shall surely set a king over you, whom the Lord your God chooses, one from among your brethren you shall set as king over you. You may not set a foreigner over you, who is not your brother, but he shall not multiply horses for himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt to multiply horses. For the Lord has said to you, you shall not return that way again. Neither shall he multiply wives for himself, lest his heart turn away, nor shall he greatly multiply silver and gold for himself. In these verses, we see that God knew the children of Israel would want a king like the other nations when they came into the land. God's original intent, of course, was that Israel would be a theocracy, that is, direct rule by God. He would be their king, and they would be a kingdom of priests. But God knew that the nation would spiral downhill during the time of the judges and want a king. So we see here in Deuteronomy chapter 17 that all this was anticipated by the Lord, and in his grace, he said that he would even choose a king for them. And then he gave strict regulations for the office of king in Israel. We see in verse 15 that the first regulation was that the kings of Israel were to be descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They could not be foreigners. In verse 16, we see that the kings were not to multiply horses for themselves or send the people to Egypt to get horses. That is, they were not to get to the point where they would trust in their own military strength and not trust in the Lord. In verse 17, there are two more regulations for the kings. They were not to be polygamous, and they were not to try and get rich. Now, God might make them rich and militarily strong, but the kings were not to strive after these things. Even David and Solomon, these great kings of Israel, did not measure up to these regulations. Think of the many wives that Solomon had that led to his downfall. In verses 18 through 20, we see some further regulations that were designed to help the king make decisions in line with the word of God and to walk close to the Lord. Let's read these verses. Also it shall be, when he sits on the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write for himself a copy of this law in a book from the one before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God and be careful to observe all the words of this law and these statutes, that his heart may not be lifted above his brethren, and he may not turn aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, and that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. The king was to write out a copy of the law for himself. No copiers or electronic Bibles were available in that day. And if you were the king, I'm sure you'd be glad that the Bible was not yet completed. Otherwise, you would be writing for a long time. Seriously speaking, the king not only wrote out a copy of the law for himself, but he was to read it every day, all the days of his life. Now, this practice would keep both him and his sons humble and obedient and would contribute to a long and pleasing reign before the Lord. Kings of Israel were to follow strict regulations in office. Now, what about the practical application from Deuteronomy 17? Read the Bible all the days of your life. Read the Bible all the days of your life. Now, I hope I'm preaching to the choir here, but the regulations here in Deuteronomy chapter 17 for the king in reference to reading and knowing the Word of God are certainly applicable for us today as well. How do you stay humble and obedient and reverent before the Lord? And how do you practice teaching your children the right way of life? Answer, read the Bible all the days of your life so that you know it thoroughly and it characterizes your whole way of life as a person and as a parent. Read the Bible all the days of your life.